Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line, we welcome you to hour number 3 on what has been a very fun Monday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go. A preview of game number 3 of the World Series tonight. Monday Night Football in the Steel City. It's prime time in Pittsburgh. The Steelers take on the Giants in so much more. We'll get the prop perspective from Tom Vecchio in just a little bit. Dr. David Chow, the pro football doc, will join us up next to look at Monday night, the Sunday slate, and the significant injuries, and maybe some Shohei Ohtani talk. He is expected to play tonight, but how limited might he be? Where could be the issue dealing with the shoulder injury? Plenty to still get to, DRS. But those first 2 hours, man, ton of fun. It was going to be a slanderous Monday with all the wild and crazy things we saw on the Week 8 NFL Sunday slate. We had a good time.
We did have a good time, and it's fantastic, and those 2 hours go by quickly. Monday, even though the energy from the weekend usually zaps you on a Monday morning, typically throughout the season, not during the NFL season. It's been awesome so far. It's been great yesterday. Profitable. Hopefully, we're profitable again tonight. It's not a great Monday night football game, but from my perspective, and Russell Wilson, I'm going to sit in studio tonight with two Russell Wilson haters who actually believe he shouldn't be a starting quarterback. It is going to be glorious when the Steelers run roughshod over the Giants, and I make everybody believers because the hashtag started with me. Hashtag let Russ cook. Nobody's ever said that before me. Nobody. So there you go.
Yeah. For sure. Donnie Wrightside, a Russell Wilson guy, an NFC East guy. He'll get you set for this Monday night against the New York Giants. But Donnie, before we hear from you or me, it's time to hear from the people. We need to update the numbers in terms of how the public has been in our FTP polls. I'll do that during this segment. But we wanted to hear from the people. What is the best bet for Monday Night Football in the Steel City? We do that now and fade the public. What is the best bet for Monday Night Football at Sports Grid on Twitter? The Steelers as the home favorite, laying 5.5. That is where the number stands currently. The Giants as the dog, getting 5.5, over 36.5, under 36 and a hook. Donnie, most of the public thinks this is rather simple. The Steelers laying 5.5 tonight on the road against the, or at home, excuse me, against the New York Giants. That's the way to look.
By the way, I logged into LeeseyLocks.com this morning. Everybody agrees. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 5.5. The public are all over this. 49%. It should be 69%, 79%, 89% on here where the Steelers should be the favorite here. And as we like to say, look, you can invest in Bitcoin. You can invest in the stock market, your 401k, whatever it might be, a pension. The best pension tonight is my pension for the Steelers winning this game by a touchdown in the public. Congratulations. Your most convincing victory of all time is the Steelers minus 5.5 to be your best bet tonight. Love to see it. The public's all over this. I love it.
I'm doing some bad work here. I'm trying to find the numbers of where we are. I believe last week for the Fade the Public poll, if I'm not mistaken, and our producer extraordinaire and stat man, Joe Friezo, if you can help out ever so slightly. I know it is noted in one of the rundowns from either a week or 2 weeks ago. I believe the public was 5-6 entering last week. Monday night, we asked them to pick the double header. They did not get it correct as the Cardinals won at home. That would be 5-7. And I know on Thursday that we asked the public who is going to win Thursday night football best bet. Everybody, like we saw from the betting statistics as well, DRS was backing the Vikings against the Rams. Of course, LA wins outright. I believe the public is 5-8 on a little bit of a slide. If not 5-8, at least 6-8. So the public is below 500, but heavy right now, or at least mostly heavy, near 50% back in the Steelers tonight. Again, Pittsburgh as a favorite post Big Ben since the start of 2022. They are 11-7 against the number. This year, DRS, favored in five games, both 3-2 straight up and against the spread. In fact, the Steelers are 5-2 straight up. They have covered in all five of their victories. The Giants are a 2-5 football team who are 3-4 against the number, but have only covered in one loss, and they've been an underdog in every game this year. They've been an underdog in 22 consecutive games, make it 23 by the time we reach tonight in the Steel City. They're 11-10-1 against the spread, a little bit more competitive perhaps than the odds makers have expected, but not much more than that. DRS total 36.5. The Giants have gone under in 6 of 7 games. They have scored a total of 10 points the last 2 weeks. Is there any way we're going over 36 and a hook tonight in Pittsburgh?
The only way you're going to get that is if the Steelers do show up. Again, 32 points against the Raiders, 37 points against the Jets. That's an anomaly for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not really the way they want to play football. If Mike Tomlin has his druthers and Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, they would just like to have the lead throughout the game and sort of salt it away and play great defense. So for my money, you were down 15-6 against the Jets. Sooner or later, you had to show up on offense. They actually did that. But in a Giants game where I think Pittsburgh is going to be a leader the entire way, how much of this offense do we actually see? Pickens is awakening now. You should be fine there. You know, Freiermuth over the middle is a solid tight end. Najee Harris looks like he's running as well as he ever did in his NFL career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They should have the lead for sure most of the game. I just don't know of that nature for the Pittsburgh Steelers is, do we want to run this one up, or are we just content to have, you know, that touchdown lead in the fourth quarter and play good defense, don't give up the big play? That's my worry on the total, because in a perfect environment, if they got a team that can push them, yeah, we'd love it over 36.5 and get easily into the 40s. My worry is not the Steelers on the scoreboard. My worry is the Giants.
DRS, when you look at this total, it will be the fifth time this year the Steelers have played in a game. Actually, let me correct that. Fourth time this year the Steelers have played in a game that features a total sub 40. The highest total of the year, 43.5, Sunday night football against Dallas at the beginning of this month. That stayed under. Updated numbers, by the way, for the Fade the Public poll. Joe Friezo has tracked it down. Public is 6-8 straight up in our FTP picks this year. So a little bit better, but they have dropped 2 in a row. Donnie, I have found my best bet for Monday Night Football. It's Najee Harris over 61.5 rushing yards. He has gone over the century mark in the last 2 games. Look at the Giants this year. In their 7 games, they have played four teams, DRS, that rank, and let me just track this to make sure it is correct, that rank in the bottom 6 of rushing offenses in the NFL. They have played 4 teams that rank in the bottom 6 of rushing offenses in the NFL. If you are not in the bottom 6, if you're not one of the 10 worst rushing offenses in the National Football League, your lead rusher has put up 94-plus yards against the New York Giants. Aaron Jones and the Vikings, barely outside of the bottom 10. They are 22nd in the NFL in terms of rush yardage this year. How about Philadelphia? Saquon Barkley, near a buck 80 last week. And the Washington Commanders had Brian Robinson Jr. run for more than 130 yards. Give me Najee Harris over 61.5. It's my best bet for Monday Night Football.
Yes, and if you're just trying to play the game out, the favorite team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, sometimes they want to keep it close to the vest and grind it out. And also keep in mind how well Najee Harris has been running the football. Might even want to throw a touchdown rush in there as if they get down to the goal line. He's probably going to be that guy. Also keep in mind, I try to want to play this angle for the Pittsburgh Steelers moving forward where they would mix in Justin Fields, almost like a Taysom Hill on steroids type of player in the red zone. But he injured his hamstring in practice, so I don't think that's going to happen, which again leads into Najee Harris. Russ isn't necessarily the guy that's going to run the football in from the 2 yard line on a quarterback sneak. They'll give it to Najee. So a bigger bump now on Najee as long as Justin Fields isn't active for the game or maybe even being a participant over the next week or so.
And when you look at the Giants DRS, Tyrone Tracy, the rookie out of Purdue, did provide a pop for this G-men offense. It's probably going to be Devin Singletary. So of those teams that rank in the bottom 10 in the NFL, the G-men see their spot there as well. Only 101.6 rushing yards per game. That's eighth worst in the National Football League. The pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, joins us for the Injury Insight up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
After a Sunday slate around the National Football League, you need that injury insight and analysis. And the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, is here on this Monday on the early line to provide just that. We'll look back on the Sunday slate. We'll take an early look at Monday Night Football tonight in Pittsburgh. And Dr. Chow, maybe even a question about Shohei Ohtani, who is expected to play in World Series game number 3 tonight in New York. But what might his limitations be? Dr. Chow, it's the Sports Equinox. We're having you do a ton here on this Monday. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Definitely. It's a male sports equinox, right?
It is. It is indeed. The four major men's professional sports league and the MLS has some playoff games on this Monday as well. Dr. Chow, let's look back on Sunday. Early in that third quarter in Duval County, the Packers quarterback Jordan Love appeared to injure his groin. He left the game, did not return. Malik Willis leads Green Bay to yet another win. Dr. Chow, Jordan Love missed some time this year, 2 full games with a knee injury. From what you have seen, from what you have heard from the Packers, where do you believe Jordan Love stands at this moment in his status moving forward?
Well, he hurt his groin early in the game and then kept aggravating it. At least it's not his knee. That's the good news. The bad news is groin muscles. I mean, they play Detroit next week. This is a big game for them. This is tough. This is going to be tough for Jordan Love to play through. Could he play? Yes, but do you want a hobbled Jordan Love playing through? And they have a bye coming up after that, so it's going to be a tough one.
Doc, I want to talk some Jacksonville Jaguars. Took a loss yesterday. Season is up in flames. Looks like a couple wide receivers, possibly too. Christian Kirk hurts the collarbone. Also, Brian Thomas Jr., the exciting young rookie, seemingly falling on the football, hurting his rib cage. Give me the updated prognostication, I should say, for Thomas. And also, what's Kirk going to go through as well?
Well, Brian Thomas, don't see it being a rib fracture. This may be rib cartilage again. That's why they're getting an MRI. This is similar to Jaden Daniels in some way. So he will be fine. It's just a matter of how much time he does miss in the short term and can he play through it. Going to be tough in the short term. Christian Kirk, fractured collarbone, likely surgery. It's possible that he can come back late season, but not the way the Jaguars' record is.
Yeah, not great for Jacksonville right now. 2-6, elected not to have the bye after 2 consecutive weekends in London. It has not been a good season in 2024 for the Jags. Atop the AFC South, Dr. Chow, that's the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud bouncing back yesterday, throwing for 285 yards, but might be doing so moving forward without Stephon Diggs. Injured in the second half with a non-contact knee injury. Dr. Chow, what did you and the Sports Injury Central team see? What is his status, that being Diggs, moving the rest of the way?
Well, that's the biggest injury worry this morning, Stephon Diggs. Non-contact, don't like that. The only piece of good news is, from the one angle we had, we could not definitively say that was an ACL tear. We need more angles to say for sure. So there is some hope, but the big worry is the dreaded three-letter word beginning with A, and I'm sure the MRI is incoming there. And they're already without Nico Collins, at least in the short term, with his hamstring.
Doc, we're usually always talking about NFL action, keeping us up to date on all the injuries. Do such a great job of that, but there is a massive World Series game tonight in New York City, and all eyes are on Ohtani. Looked like devastation of an injury. Now we're hearing the possibility of playing tonight, Doc. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility of playing is certainly good news, but in-game, I actually was at a Halloween party, and then the Sixth Score staff sent me the video, and that was a dislocated shoulder. And that's not good news. It can tear the labrum or the capsule. The only good news is that it's, A, he's not a field position player, and B, it's his back shoulder hitting, which is better than front shoulder, but it's still going to be a little bit of an issue, especially the way, so if you dislocate your shoulder, you don't want to get up in this position. Well, Ohtani kind of holds his bat out and up high by the ear when he gets ready in his stance and load. So look, Ohtani's, if he can play, he's going to play. That's what Dave Roberts said. If he feels good enough to go, I see no reason why he wouldn't be in the lineup. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement that he's fine, right? And here's the thing. Even if he does play, I don't see him being MVP Shohei Ohtani. Look, is he one of the top nine batters for the Dodgers? Probably is. Any semblance of him is deserves to be in the lineup. But is he the league MVP, Shohei Ohtani? I think it's more likely he misses the rest of the World Series than he's MVP Ohtani when he plays. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a version somewhere in the middle. The only good news there is, A, he's not definitively out, and B, they're up 2-0.
Yeah, they are up 2-0. Game number three tonight in the Bronx. The Yankees, a slight favorite to register their first win here in the Fall Classic. Elsewhere, Doc, on this Monday, to the Steel City we go. It's the Steelers hosting the Giants. 5.5-point spread in favor of Pittsburgh. We look on both sides of the football. We use the field view on sixscore.com. Let's start with the Steelers offensively, then get to the Giants on that side of the football as well. What's the health like for both of these clubs entering Monday night?
Well, the Steelers, as you see there on the field view, they've got offensive line issues, but they've somehow been able to play through them and have a winning record. I mean, you see the center and the whole right side of the offensive line, but they've been able to get through that with Justin Fields and now Russell Wilson, so they're not too bad. The bigger question is actually on the Giants' O-line because of their new injuries. There you go with left tackle Andrew Thomas, maybe their best player. The backup struggled last week, and let's see what happens here. And I'm sure TJ Watt will flip over to the other side quite a bit to test him. That's the big injury to watch.
Yeah, the Giants did allow 8 sacks last week. Daniel Jones was sacked 7 times. Drew Locke even came in and was sacked as well. The Steelers have the second best scoring defense in the National Football League. You know they will be looking to tee off on this Monday night in the Steel City. The Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, see the field views, see the 6 scores at sicscore.com. Great work at Sports Injury Central. Dr. Chow, as always, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We will talk plenty more here on the Early Line World Series Monday Night Prop Perspective. All that and more next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is game number 3 of the 2024 World Series for the first time tonight in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Dodgers. First World Series game in New York since 2009. That was the last time the Yankees won a World Series, in danger of having this long drought continue if they cannot turn things around quickly here in the Fall Classic. They head back home to New York down in an 0-2 hole. The Dodgers winning both games at the Ravine in thrilling walk-off fashion in game number one, holding on at the end in the ninth in game number two. Tonight, DRS, the Pinstripes return home as a moneyline favorite. Minus 144 is that number. We have seen some offense, but it did take extra innings to push game one to the over of 8.5. Game two stays under. Tonight, the total remains at that over-under of 8.5. What are your thoughts for game number three of the World Series tonight in the Bronx?
Maybe even looking at a chance to get that total. Now, you're going to get cooler conditions that you're going to have in New York City than you had in Los Angeles, about 51 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing slightly out to left field. But if we're looking at the factors here, Clark Schmidt, right-handed pitcher, last 60 batters that he's faced, he's really gotten hit around by left-handed batters, a 204 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 359. Right-handed batters, he's absolutely stellar against, Ben. 091 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 229. Now, normally you'd say, like, boy, Otani's a left-handed batter right off the bat. That's one of the first guys you're going to look at. Not the case tonight. We don't know how well, if he is going to play, how that shoulder is going to hold up. Freddie Freeman, you say, hey, Donnie, man, this is perfect. Why don't you get after Freddie Freeman? He probably has great numbers. Over his last 29 at-bats against right-handed pitching, Ben, an 074 ISO and a 241 weighted on base percentage. Theoretically, one of the worst batters in that lineup. Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy, Kike Hernandez all have solid ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages, and also against Mookie Betts. Now, if you're looking at Mookie Betts, 43 at-bats, you usually say to yourself, I don't care what pitcher he's going up against, he should be able to be dominant. He's been phenomenal against right-handed pitching, but again, as I told you, Clark Schmidt on the season and the past 30 days has been very good against right-handed batters. If I'm picking one batter in the lineup tonight that I'm probably going to press it down on to get either a base hit, maybe an RBI, or just to get on base, total bases, 1.5 in that range, Max Muncy. 47 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, a 273 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 454. If we go to the opposite side, Walker Buehler, as we know, Ben, the statistics bear, hasn't had a great season here. But over the past 41 batters, he's been pretty good. Yeah. If you look at the lineup tonight for the Yankees against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, the first five guys, Torres, Soto, Judge, Stanton, and Chisholm, all have high ISO power numbers here. But if we're being honest, how much longer can you ride Aaron Judge's 189 ISO, which is dropping like a rock? If I'm looking at one player that I want to get after for the New York Yankees, how can you go against Juan Soto? A 483 ISO and a 564 weighted on base percentage over his 35 at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's how you play it. Also, that it's good to see the totals, Ben. No 6.5s, no sevens, no 7.5s, 8.5. I do think there's a chance we get 9 runs tonight in the Bronx.
So listen, Walker Buehler has struggled this year. You saw the numbers there of his regular season ERA and that win-loss record. It was the first time that he had pitched in nearly 2 years after two Tommy John surgeries. And he was not great to start off this postseason against San Diego. Allowed 6 earned runs in game number 3. All of them, though, coming, Donnie, in the second inning. Dave Roberts kept him out there. He was scoreless in inning 3, 4, and 5, and then started against the Mets in the NLCS, 4 innings of shutout baseball, allowing just 2 base knocks. He is a competitor, and he has fought his way back to earn the starting nod for game number 3. Clark Schmidt has made 2 starts for the Yanks, once in the DS against the Royals, once in the LCS against the Guardians. Each 4 2/3, 78 pitches or less, 2 earned runs allowed. Exactly in both of those 2 previous outings. Donnie, I think entering this series, we pretty much said the Yankees have the pitching edge, that being Gerrit Cole to start game number 1. The Yankees blew that. The superstars at the top of this sport, rather equal. But after you get past Soto and Stanton, because Judge is not performing like a superstar, but rather a minor leaguer at this moment, the Dodgers have the edge. Otani in this World Series, 1 of 3 with a double. That is it. Tommy Edman back to life in game number 2. Freddie Freeman has been the difference. Teoscar Hernandez, a home run. So if you give me depth and you target Max Muncy, Donnie, all right.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers, despite being the underdog, do have the edge entering tonight. But we shall see. The Yankees need this one and are favored to do so. It's the 31st ever Sports Equinox. That means the jack of all trades, Tom Vecchio's got a ton of plays. He's here next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 31st ever sports equinox in the history of planet Earth is on this Monday, October 28th. The four major men's professional sports leagues in North America all in action. A World Series, that is game number three. Monday Night Football to end out week number eight in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Giants. A slew of NBA games. We've got NHL action on the ice. Two MLS playoff games, if that is your thing. So, of course, we call on the jack of all trades, Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio, here for the prop perspective on this Monday. Plays in Pittsburgh and elsewhere across the slate, Tom. We appreciate the time on this Monday.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Yeah, a super busy day. An interesting game tonight for Monday Night Football. I'm not going to say it's the most exciting. I think there are some really interesting angles, especially to take when it comes to Russell Wilson. Big, I'm going to say borderline, if not must-win game for my Yankees. We got NHL to get to. We got NBA to get to. Let's roll.
Let's roll right into it. 5.5-point spread, Vecchio, in favor of the Steelers tonight in Pittsburgh. Limited total, 36.5. The Steelers are a pretty hefty favorite, and yet the amount of points expected, not all that high. So what are the numbers telling you about tonight's game in Pittsburgh?
Could be a bit of an ugly one. Could be a lot of field goals if you're into taking kicker props. I guess this is a slate for you if you're into targeting defensive props, sacks, especially with what we know TJ Watt and the Steelers defense can do against Daniel Jones, a quarterback that is known to take sacks, known to, you know, have uneasy plays essentially in the pocket and force some throws. That could be an interception route to go for him. So I think we're in for a pretty rough game potentially from the Giants side of things. Again, I want to circle back to Russell Wilson once we get to start talking about the quarterbacks. Donnie, if I remember correctly, you're pretty high on Russell Wilson, correct?
MVP, 400-1. Tom, get on board, because tonight we're dropping that in half. Dropping in half, right, brother.
Yeah, I think that's one of the plays I want to take in, and it comes down to the Justin Fields news, where he's being downgraded to questionable due to the hamstring. So I think a lot of the favorable props actually come from Russell Wilson tonight.
Oh, look at it. Music to my ears, Ben. Let's get after it here, and let's talk about those quarterbacks, Tom. Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones tonight. Both of these quarterbacks under 200 passing yards for their prop. 197.5 for Russ. Daniel Jones at 188.5. If you're looking for touchdown passes tonight, Russell Wilson to go throw two, that's plus 162. Daniel Jones to throw one, minus 170. Wilson Jones, what's up with the props tonight, Tom?
I don't mind the overs on either of their passing yards, and, you know, especially Jones, if they're playing from behind, I think that's fine. Again, if they're going to be passing at a higher rate, I think the interception would also be pretty likely. Pittsburgh can bring the pressure. But again, when it comes to Russell Wilson, right, let's just say hypothetically Justin Fields was active. We'd always be talking about, or some people would be talking about, okay, what if Wilson struggles as he did at the beginning portion of last game? Would Fields come in? Could we be talking about Russell Wilson unders today? But that's not the case because Fields is unlikely to play. So if there's any time for Russell Wilson to get out there and truly sling the ball, show that he is deserving to be that starting quarterback for the rest of the year, without a shadow of a doubt, tonight's the night, right? Tonight's the night. He doesn't have to worry about Fields coming back in. Tonight's the night for him to go over on the yard, over on the passing attempts, over on the completions, over on the touchdowns, not just over 197 or whatever it is, him to hit 250 plus, whatever it might be. So, like, tonight could be the Russell Wilson game for the Steelers.
It really could, Vecchio. And last week, it was a slow start for Russ and that Steelers offense in his Pittsburgh debut, but ended with 264 yards, two touchdowns, a rushing score as well. But when you see a total of 36.5, you often think ugly, grinded out football game, and you turn your attention to establishing the run. What do you make of the running backs that will square off tonight? Devin Singletary's number, I think it's 36.5, 31.5, whatever it is. And Najee Harris is on the rise. 62.5 is that current number on FanDuel.
You know, Singletary is obviously tough because Tracy has been seeing, you know, more and more carries and more involvement. The Harris number I have interest in, you know, I was looking at his rushing attempts prop, but then again, I'm kind of like circling back. It's like, I think the Steelers should be out ahead and Harris theoretically should be seeing the ball. But if I want to buy into like the Donnie narrative of seeing Russell Wilson have a big game, like he wouldn't be seeing the ball a lot, right? We'd be seeing, you know, Wilson throwing the ball more and more. And that's what it comes down to. So, game script wise, I think it's fine to be targeting Najee Harris in terms of attempts or yards, especially if you're buying into the Steelers spread, you know, with such a low total and that spread. But ultimately, I think I'm going to side with Russell Wilson, which I can't remember the last time I said that.
Look at that, man. Big look, we're turning the page here, Tom. Everybody's climbing on board. Let Russ cook, and maybe he does tonight. But in order to cook, some of those wide receivers have to help him out. If we're looking at both sides of the equation, Malik Nabers, 66.5. George Pickens at 60.5. Or are we buying lower on some other options, Tom?
I think Pickens is obviously always a great option, that deep ball threat. He could realistically get this done in two catches. And the way we saw Russell Wilson target him, especially in the second half of last week's game, I think is what we should be seeing. They want to get the ball to him. And then Pat Freiermuth underneath, I think, is a super solid option. Of course, Malik Nabers is the number one option for the Giants. But actually, let's turn to Donnie, your favorite player last time, the Giants. We spoke about them in a primetime game. Theo Johnson, under 12.5 receiving yards. He's a 7% target share. And you look at his game log. Yeah, he's been over this mark in two of the last three, but those were two games where Malik Nabers didn't play. We go back to last week when Nabers comes back. Theo Johnson, no targets. He doesn't have high targets per route run. He's not running a ton of routes. He doesn't have a high A dot. He's just not a pass catching option for the Giants. He is sixth on the team in terms of target share.
I bet that the last time you gave us a Theo Johnson under in prime time, and it did come through. So, Vecchio, that's Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. Let's get to Monday Night Baseball in World Series game number 3 in the Bronx. The Yankees in an 0-2 hole return home for the first World Series game inside Yankee Stadium in 15 years. They are a home favorite. Clark Schmidt starts for the Pinstripes. Walker Buehler on the other side for the Dodgers. Do you agree with the odds? Will the Yankees win their first game in this 2024 Fall Classic?
The odds are just a touch too much. You know, if it was minus 115, I think minus 120 would be slightly more appropriate. You know, if there's any game for them to win, it would be this one with the ups and downs that Walker Buehler's had. You guys spoke about it in the last. I mean, like, he's been really good at times, especially as of late, but he's also been really bad at times. And, you know, if we do see the Yankees get out to a lead, this is where we'd see the Dodgers bullpen come into play. But ultimately, I think the play for tonight is Clark Schmidt under 4.5 strikeouts. Over the first two games, the Yankees as a team, not just the starting pitcher, the Yankees as a team had 4 total strikeouts in game 1 and 6 total strikeouts in game 2. So it's not just about the starting pitching. It's something with the Dodgers and their scouting. They have something figured out that they are super, super disciplined at the plate as of now, and they're just not giving away chances at the plate. So Schmidt under 4.5, I think, is the play tonight.
They have to win, the New York Yankees. But if we're taking a look at that MVP odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Freddie Freeman is a runaway right now at a minus 125 price. Giancarlo Stanton 10-1, Soto 10-1, and so forth. Is it Freddie Freeman's to lose, or can you see somebody else climbing back and taking that over from Freddie Freeman?
The answer, if there's one player, I think it's Tommy Edman, right? He's already got, like, I don't want to say pedigree, yep, but he already did it in the NLCS. He already has the one home run, right? And another one home run. If Freddie Freeman has good games, doesn't have any more home runs, and Edman does, I mean, we're getting a great number, Tommy Edman at 11-1, when he already won award last round. He already has the home run. So, like, that would be the quote-unquote longer shot to take.
I mean, if this series is done quickly, Freddie Freeman's moment in game number 1, it's going to live on. If the Yankees come back, of course, you look to the other side. If we go to 7 and somebody gives you a thrilling moment for LA in 6 or 7, then maybe they become the World Series MVP favorite. But that's for a couple of days from now. Vecchio, tonight, the 31st ever Sports Equinox. Let's go to the ice. Let's go to the hardwood. Sam Reinhart and the Joker. Welcome to Tom's Top Props. How come?
Yeah, let's go to Sam Reinhart, over 2.5 shots on goal and potentially a goal tonight. He's going up against his former team in the Buffalo Sabres. We see Reinhart with at least 2 shots on goal in 10 of his 11 games. He's a proven goal scorer with over 50 goals last season. I think he finds the back of the net tonight. And then Jokic, over 47.5 PRA. The Nuggets off to an 0-2 start, and they're 9-point road favorites against the Toronto Raptors tonight. I think that should tell you enough about the quality of the team that the Raptors have out on the court this season. And, like, this is just a get-right spot. Nuggets, they're a good team. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to finish in the top 5 in seeding. Get Jokic the ball. They'll come away with their first one of the year.
P-R-A in the prompt perspective. Betkio, as always, we thank you. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football, a primetime game in Pittsburgh to end out week number 8 of this NFL season. It's the Giants and the Steelers. From the numbers perspective, not exactly the most appealing game we've ever seen. Pittsburgh a 5.5-point home favorite. Total stands at 36 and a hook. So, Donnie, when you start your handicap for a game that might not be the prettiest NFL football game we have seen, but in what was a wild week number 8, where do you go first?
Yeah, you try to build it out starting with the Steelers. And tonight, you know, because I'm always a big guy, FanDuel Sportsbook, putting in some of those same game parlays. It's probably going to start with not the Steelers. You know, I think the Steelers win by a touchdown, but probably moneyline Steelers. I have a hard time believing the New York Giants can win this game outright. And that's where you start to build it out. But also, sometimes you look at the 36.5, Benz. We get some gems because they are price appropriate. What I'm talking about is if the line was 46.5 on a total or 50.5 on a total, a lot of these price points on the, let's just say, prop market would be like, it doesn't look that great. Typically, you see two decent football teams. One rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown from each team is like plus 190 to plus 210. Tonight, Ben, that's a 6-1 price because we're not expecting a lot. But when you think about that, Daniel Jones to throw one, Russ to throw one, a rushing touchdown each side cashes a 6-1, not a plus 210 ticket. That's phenomenal. So some of those things you do have to factor in. But for me, if I think the Steelers win the game, we just play paint by numbers. Najee's probably going to have a good game volume-wise, right? Late in the fourth quarter, up a touchdown or more, you're looking to run that clock out. You know, you're looking at George Pickens, who you know now is the number one guy for Russell Wilson. You're looking for him on the outside. We just told you he's around 60 yards there in his receiving props. That's not a lot against a bad Giants defense. But if you want to get a little tricky is, do you sort of up the ante on Daniel Jones? Because his numbers aren't high, and if they're losing the football game, should he be able to throw to close for 200 yards? Yes, he should. The only problem is, if he's so bad like he was against the Philadelphia Eagles, do they pull the plug and just go to a backup quarterback once again? Those are the tough ones to decide. So I just want to keep it simple. The majority of my props are going to come from the Steelers side. What I'm trying to factor in is maybe which wide receiver to take for the Giants, because if I do believe they're losing with not a lot of success on the ground running the football, somebody's got to catch at least, Ben, right, 50 yards worth of balls, just finding out who that guy is going to be tonight. Is it Wandell? Is it Neighbors? That's what I'm trying to determine today.
You would probably think Malik Neighbors, 65.5 is the yardage prop for Neighbors tonight. Of course, he missed two games in concussion protocol, returned last week in their matchup against Philadelphia. Was the Giants' leading receiver. Somehow, some way, he finished with 41 receiving yards. But in his first four games of his NFL career, to start off this season, went over that receiving yards prop in all four, including in like three quarters of that Thursday night game against the Dallas Cowboys, and targeted a ton and caught a lot of footballs. On the other side, in Russell Wilson's Steelers debut, it was George Pickens as Pittsburgh's leading receiver. He had told the media that although Mike Tomlin was keeping it close to the vest earlier in the week, who would start, that they had been getting a lot of time after practice trying to sync up and get on the same page, it did pay off. Pickens, 111 yards and a touchdown last week against the Jets. And Donnie, it was not pretty early for Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson and the offense in the opening half, but they figured something out in the second. Russ ended with 264 yards, two touchdowns. Now, the Giants get after the quarterback, leading the NFL in sacks after 7 weeks. But you would think, and Pittsburgh's dealing with some issues along that offensive line again, but you would think if Russ even has a little bit of time, he's going to go over 200 yards tonight against the Giants team that is going to struggle. I guess the thought that would keep you from that is the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be playing from in front. So even if Russ and the offense gets off to a good start, they might just start running the football in a game that's not expected to feature a ton of offense and a heavy spread in favor of the Steelers.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at the Steelers' offense tonight. Is the most important thing for them to win the football game? Absolutely. Does that mean you want to be a gunslinger in the first half, maybe have a couple turnovers, a couple sacks, and put yourself behind the eight ball against the Giants? Probably not here. But we also have to be honest. You're trying to break Russell Wilson in, who's only had one start on the season, and say, okay, let's get you into an offensive rhythm. Let's not just try to stall this out because we don't think the Giants can score. That's a recipe for disaster. So I do think they'll be aggressive, and we're not asking for 250, 275. It's just 200 yards. And it's not as if we're in a low scoring game because both defenses are absolutely tremendous. The Giants don't have a very good defense. The Steelers technically do have a very good defense, but you brought up a great point. You must be able to protect your quarterback. I'm not so sure the Giants can do that. And as I say that, Russell Wilson is mobile, not as mobile as Justin Fields, but Dexter Lawrence may be the best defensive tackle in football, almost like Aaron Donald this year, collapsing pockets. He is going to be a problem. Now, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, if you do want to take those angles, we told you already, TJ Watt's quite expensive at a minus 230. I do think he's getting a sack tonight, so juice is irrelevant at that point. But I'm waiting to see when they post some of those Giants odds, because Dexter Lawrence, with that banged-up interior of the offensive line, he should be getting sacks too tonight. I want to see what his price point is, because if he's going to be lower than minus 230, which I do believe, that might be a bargain tonight.
Only three defensive props available for sacks tonight. TJ Watt, as DRS shared, minus 230. Might be a discount by the time tonight is done. Alex Highsmith at minus 114. Cam Hayward at minus 102. The reason it could feel like a discount, the Giants O-line, no longer with Andrew Thomas, by far their anchor, staple, best O-lineman, gave up 8 sacks last week against Philadelphia. In the Eagles, through most of the year up until that point, we're getting after the quarterback. TJ Watt certainly has been. Donnie, I've already shared my favorite prop, Najee Harris, over his rushing yards prop, 61.5. On the graphic, already up by a yard to 62.5, bright early on this Monday. The Giants have played 7 games. 4 of their 7 opponents rank in the bottom 6 in terms of rushing yardage. If you are not in the bottom 6, if you aren't in the bottom 10 in the NFL, the Giants have played you 3 times. The Eagles, the Commanders, both top 5. And then the Vikings, who barely are on the outside of the bottom 10, 11th worst. Their lead backs, Aaron Jones, Brian Robinson Jr., Saquon Barkley, at least 94 yards, and Najee Harris has gone over the century mark in 2 consecutive games. DRS, quickly, the total 36.5. The Giants under in 6 of 7 games. The Steelers over in 3 of their last 4. That Giants team total, last 3 wins, all under, or 3 losses, excuse me, under 15.5. Pittsburgh's second best scoring defense in the NFL.
Let's go 24-12 tonight. Just stays under that total. A win and a cover for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it makes a lot of sense. Giants get a couple field goals, sort of salt that game away in the fourth quarter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the way I'm looking for it here. But I do think it's a go anytime touchdown market tonight. Pickens and Najee for me. How about that?
Love it. Sports Equinox, DRS. Enjoy it. We'll talk Thursday. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you set now for the first Saturday in November, week number 10. Man, into the double digits already of this college football season is on the horizon. We've got some great midweek action. Tuesday night, Fun Belt. That's tomorrow. We'll talk about it then. And of course, a week from tomorrow night is the first college football playoff rankings reveal of the season. We'll get to see how the selection committee is viewing what is happening around the country right now in college football for the first time ever in the 12-team format. It's not just the top 4 or the top 6, the couple of programs on the outside looking in. The committee has to be thorough here, because everything that will be determined, 1 through 12, highest ranked group of 5 team, and the teams that follow, are going to determine the final month of the college football regular season. Now, we had 5 ranked versus ranked matchups to end out October in week number 9, only 2 this weekend. It does not look as illustrious on the slate, but that's often when chaos can happen in college football. There is a no-doubter game of the week, potentially game of the year. In-state college, inside Happy Valley and Beaver Stadium on Saturday. It's an early kick, noon Eastern time, between third-ranked Penn State and fourth-ranked Ohio State. The Nittany Lions are a 3.5-point home favorite in State College on Saturday, trying to snap a 7-game losing skid against the Buckeyes. I said it early when discussing with Donnie in our second hour. I will say it again. The narratives of this game and what the outcome is going to mean for the legacy of each head coach, just sit back and have some fun on Saturday. James Franklin, head coach of the Penn Staters, is 3-17 against the AP Top 10, is 1-9 against Ohio State, the only victory against the Buckeyes way back in 2016 when Penn State was unranked. Now they are number 3 in yet a home underdog. I'm not sure how you feel all that comfortable laying a number with Ohio State, albeit on the road. The Buckeyes have not looked great. Of course, they lost on the road inside Autzen Stadium as a slight favorite against Oregon. Had a bye week to figure it out. Did not against Nebraska. Not coming close to a cover as a 25.5-point home favorite and making a couple of defensive plays necessary in the second half to hold on for a 21-17 win. Ohio State's season will not be defined by a win over Penn State. Ohio State's season is not defined by what we have seen the last 3 weeks. But one of the issues is you can poke holes into this Buckeyes program that self-imposed or self-actualized by what they did this offseason. The Buckeyes know it's national championship or bust. And they do not seem to be a true national title contender as of this moment. An offense that I thought was going to average 250 yards on the ground this year had 2.1 yards per carry against Nebraska. Penn State's defense, excellent in the second half on Saturday night in Camp Randall against Wisconsin. And their talented back, Tawee Walker, he had nothing going against this Penn State defense. Of course, it will be interesting to follow the spread and the injury status of Drew Aller. Injured right before the half on Saturday night in Madison. Did not play the second half. Bo Perbula looked pretty good for Penn State. We probably all thought this would have been another top 25 tilt in the Big Ten before the year. Michigan did beat Michigan State on Saturday night. They do cover as a 3.5-point favorite, but it wasn't all that pretty. The Wolverines catching more than 2 touchdowns at home against the number one team in the country, and Oregon has looked every bit the number one team in the country. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party on Saturday afternoon in Jacksonville, Georgia. 16.5-point favorite against Florida. Both teams had an open weekend this final Saturday in October. Miami is unbeaten. Miami continuing to make a run to an ACC crown. Duke suffered a loss on Saturday at home in overtime against SMU after the Stangs blocked a field goal at the end of regulation. Duke won the turnover margin by 6, still lost the game, but has been a good underdog this year. 3-1 ATS. Iowa State remains perfect. Indiana remains perfect. We will see the status of the Hoosiers QB, Curtis Rourke, as they travel to East Lansing. Michigan State did not play well on Saturday in a couple of questionable coaching decisions, but they have been pretty solid in the first year of Jonathan Smith. Our other top 25 tilt, Pittsburgh and SMU. The Panthers unbeaten. We'll return tomorrow on a Tuesday, 8 a.m. Eastern on the Early Line.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.